Oh, wait. Stop the music. Before we do anything, before we even start the podcast and forget to do this again, we need to say thank you. Am I losing my voice?
Yeah, say thank you.
Losing my voice.
Big
we need to say
thanks.
Thank you to our amazing and generous voice actors for last week's little production.
Oh, yeah.
Alex
oh, yes.
Hall and Katie Rand. Thank you
thanks.
For
yes,
donating
Alex
your voices.
And Katie. Yeah.
To Stephanie's winning love story. That was excellent. And in the heat of the moment, we sort of forgot to say thank you.
We were just too excited, weren't we?
Too
excited to say thank you. It's like that we've got our presents, we've opened them, we were so excited. Now our mum's had to tell us that we need to write thank you
cards. We've got to
say
thank you now. Yeah, you've got to open the card.
It's all behind us and we don't need to mention anything about that competition or any of the stories in it ever again.
Yeah, ever again.
That's it.
It's done. It's finished.
Yeah. Forget about it.
So that's all fine. Cue the music.
This episode of the Failing Writers Podcast is brought to you by the word eh and the number 11.
So, what's first on the agenda for this week?
Well, Tommy,
hmm.
We were talking about the competition, weren't we? Having just said, we'll never
mention. You said it's all behind us. Yeah, but no, we're not, because it's all behind us.
We were talking about the competition, and there was one piece. Right, that
oh, go on,
got
literary Columbo.
Just one more story.
Yeah. It got put through to the shortlist by two of us, and it made the other person's long list. And it was the only story that achieved that feat.
Oh,
and it's such a good story. We were talking the other day and saying what a ridiculous shame it is not to read it out.
Yeah,
so
well, maybe you should John.
I think that's what I'm gonna do. Right now.
Yeah. Go on then.
Okay, we can have special dispensation for that. I think that's acceptable.
I think so.
And then after that, no more
never
talk
again.
About the bloody competition.
Okay, we're not going to mention it again, I promise. Okay. So this story is called Hashtag, and it's by Jennifer Last. How long does it take to bleed out? How long have I been looking at that broken window? There's a hashtag burned into my retinas from the contrast between the glass and the mountains. When I close my eyes, this belongs on Instagram. Hashtag damaged. Hashtag shattered. Hashtag broken. A squirrel creeps across the windowsill, now accessible by a branch close to the cottage. He will assess the damage to the window, to the cottage, to me. Don't small animals instinctively stay away from the smell of blood? Maybe squirrels don't have a good sense of smell. Or maybe they're carnivores. On his haunches now, he cocks his head and chitters. Curious. Suspicious. That's a good question, Mr. Squirrel. Why am I sitting in the corner while my own blood pools in the palm of my hand? His chittering takes a villainous turn. Yes, summon your army of squirrels to the scene. He leaves. With any luck, he'll return with a legion of forest creatures for a feast. Tails as soft as a kiss, teeth as sharp as blades. Hashtag, how many squirrels would it take? As an adult, I see that this room is nothing more than a poorly insulated attic, cooled only by a cross breeze from open windows, though someone had painted the window shut, leaving me no choice but to put my fist through the glass. But this room, Mum's summer studio, was always my favourite room in the cottage. Empty now, and unused for years, but sun-bleached shadows hint at what it looked like when I was a girl. Exposed hand-hewn beams and joists allow the space to feel like a tree fort. Colourful paint splatters freckle the unfinished floorboards, sparks from what was once my mother's vibrant creativity. We had been happy here. Dad sold it so I could go to university. I'd spent many hours in that alcove, reading books and writing cringe poetry. The daybed is gone, but curtains made out of old bedsheets still hang tattered around the broken window. When I was 7, I cut them up to make a chain of hand-holding dolls. Instead of being replaced, they'd remained as a penitential reminder of my impulsiveness. When I was 15, I lost my virginity on that bed to a boy from across the lake who said he loved me, then ghosted me. I could put that on Instagram too. Hashtag faded. Hashtag tattered. Hashtag ruined. What a waste of money, Dad said. I bought it back anyway. Money from my fancy degree. I was going to bring her here. I was going to let her die here. Maybe I'd take up painting. She's gone, Dad said on the phone just before I smashed the window, desperate for oxygen. Stop being dramatic, Mom would say. Look at this mess. These cuts aren't deep enough to kill me, just enough to make me faint and fantasize about death by squirrel. Another stain on the floor, another scar or two. I don't know what hashtag to use when your mom dies. Hashtag what now?
Very good.
Very good.
Very, very good.
Here is a lid, and I'm putting it on the competition.
Well, hang on. Before you do that, we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about it.
Taking the lid back off.
Take the lid off, Dave. Can you do the sound of a lid coming off, Dave?
I don't know.
Finally stumped.
There you go.
That's quite good. That's surprisingly good.
Have you lost the lid and you've had to use a balloon?
I did. Yes. Wow. It's an inflatable lid.
Yeah. Oh, theatre of the mind. Yeah. Brilliant stuff.
So what did you think, chaps, of that one?
It was very... I don't know what the word is really, atmospheric, or it was all in one place. But do you mean you can't?
But her mind takes you to different places. I thought that's exactly it. It's very much contained in that room.
All within that one room. It was like it used the room as a scene, as different scenes.
That's right. It was like shadows of memories in that room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Really clever.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories that totally drags you in. Interestingly, also that was another first person present tense story, and I know some people can be quite disdainful of first person present, and I think maybe
are they?
Yeah, because I think maybe that's more for like novels and things, because I can sort of see why it might be a bit restrictive for long form. But I'm starting to think for little things like this, it works really well.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Well,
because it puts you in someone's shoes.
Absolutely, yeah. So it sort of it helps to build that emotional connection straight away, doesn't
exactly.
it? Because you know it's there, right there. Someone's spilling their soul to you in a way.
I liked the hashtag, that little recurring motif.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. That wasn't it.
It is.
And yeah.
I think it gave the whole Instagram sort of thing that, you know, this is obviously not a nice place that she's in, and just that contrast of everything that you see on Instagram is all kind of like shiny and perfect
exactly.
and everything, and she's just in this, like, how do you translate all this into real world? It's just dark and pretty miserable.
Yeah.
But it's also sort of quite playful as well, the fact that she's doing that. And that squirrel bit as well is quite playful, and it stops it getting too heavy.
Well, that's the thing. I really would like to know how many squirrels it would take
to eat you
to
alive.
Completely dismember.
It's one of those difficult ones, isn't it? Because it depends on the squirrel's personalities.
Yeah. How many nuts they've had already that day.
Yeah, whether they're fully nutted up or whether they're
kind of... And what kind of state you're in.
Because
this person, you know, they're feeling a bit faint. That's going to be a bit easier than taking on, like, Dwayne Johnson, you know.
Whether you've got pockets full of acorns. Do you mean you've just been out collecting them, but then you've still got them on you?
Or you've got
you're
going to
attract more squirrels, aren't you?
But I think there's that bit, I think it's in Snatch, where Bricktop goes into detail of how many pigs it would take.
I think it's
18 pigs or something like that in one sitting.
It's going to be more than 18.
It's going to be a lot of squirrels,
isn't it? We know
that
for nothing. Yeah.
They've
only got little mouths.
Chew through bones.
If they were,
given enough time, I would imagine.
If they were hungry enough. Those teeth are very sharp.
You can gnaw through a bone.
If you can gnaw through a branch.
Some of the great philosophers have said, if you take an infinite amount of bones and an infinite amount of squirrels, eventually they will chew through
they
them.
They will eat through them.
Yeah.
It was, anyway, I thought it was brilliant. Well done, Jen. It packs a lot of information about a character, doesn't it? and the life stage they find themselves at into a tiny little compact
story. And it was very well drawn, wasn't it?
It is another one where you think, oh, that's surprising how few words there are in it.
It's so restrained as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not like overblown and overly emotional. Yeah, very clever. Well done, Jen.
Right.
Put that lid on.
Firmly on.
This lid is going back on, screwing it on. It's done.
Right.
Not coming off again. So, what else have we got to talk about then, now that we've put that
to
bed?
Well, I just wanted to read one of the stories we got for the competition. Well, that story was a little bit kind of stream of consciousness, wasn't it? As you sort of sat there.
I suppose it was.
Nice.
Smooth.
No, it's just an observation. have we got anything else planned for this episode? Right.
Well, we should probably turn that into a segue and make some sort of stream of consciousness connection.
Let's try and do that. Listen, as we record this tonight, it's National Poetry Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Of course, because you listen to this.
I thought I was feeling poetic today.
Yeah, and that's why.
Mm, right.
But now, obviously, that's over. But that doesn't mean that we can't still stuff our lives with poetry.
Yeah, celebrate the poetic word.
Exactly. And we were toying with ideas for what to do for a little poetry special, weren't we? And then I think it was Dave. Was it you, Dave? Had a brilliant idea.
Well, if it was brilliant, it probably was me. But
yeah. What was the idea?
I can't remember. What idea did I have?
Well, another good idea then, Dave, if it's that easy.
Right, I'll have another idea on the spot. The idea that I'm having right now is that we should try to write some stream of consciousness words based on a subject that we will give each other, and we'll do it live. So we'll give each other some sort of subject, we'll give each other a specific amount of time, and we're just going to do it live, here, now.
We're going to do a little bit of free writing.
Yeah.
How about that? And I've been looking into stream of consciousness writing, looking into the history of stream of consciousness writing. And it's actually got a longer history than I realised, because I kind of associate it with your modernist writers like Joyce and Faulkner and Virginia Woolf and people like that. And then a bit later on, free writing with the Beat Generation, people like Jack Kerouac. Do you fellas have any intel on stream of consciousness? Tommy, what is it? As our resident A-level psychologist, what's your definition of it?
Just saying stuff in it from your head and things.
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's spot on. That is what it is.
That's what I remember most from the psychology. Yep.
Yeah.
It's very much
whatever comes into your head.
Yeah.
Well, it's more about kind of through the writing, showing that this is the thought process.
That's right.
That this is as it happens, as you're thinking, as it's popping up. Which lends itself to obviously going off on little tangents or following down paths that you wouldn't, almost kind of like that semi-dreamlike state where different things kind of make sense and fit together.
Yeah.
But in your normal everyday conscious life, perhaps doesn't so much. So yeah, kind of mixing those two. And I think it's very much a flying by your seat of the pants narrative, isn't it? As there's no forewarning for what's coming up, really, other than what you're seeing through the eyes of the narrator.
Seeing, feeling, smelling, whatever.
I think it also fits in nicely, though, with our sort of commitment to writing forwards, doesn't it? Because it requires a sort of... it requires you to sort of not put any boundaries on yourself.
That's it, it is.
Just to let it flow, let it go.
It's uncensored, isn't it, really? It's just going for it. So for people like me who agonise over every word, it's probably quite a good exercise.
Yeah.
We should probably make the discrepancy, actually, between stream of consciousness as an effect. Like, you could potentially write something, write a stream of consciousness poem, but it might take you weeks to write it because it's the effect you're trying to create. And the discrepancy between that and free writing, which is actually trying to do it. So it's stream of consciousness as a strategy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you're literally just attempting to write improvisationally without censorship.
Yeah.
So they're slightly different things, but they're effectively, they often end up fairly similar, if you know.
Yes, and the latter can be crafted into the former.
Exactly.
Good distinction.
Yeah.
I mentioned Joyce before. He is an absolute master of this sort of stream of consciousness thing. And I was telling, I think I was telling you, Tommy, about that arena documentary I watched.
Oh, yeah.
On Ulysses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I recommend that, well, to everyone, to listeners. If you haven't read any Joyce, or, yeah, if you fancy just like a little taste, if you fancy dipping your toe in, it's really good. I think it's on BBC. It gives you some really nice insights into where the book came from, and, you know, there's lots of really good passages from it.
I like
read
a good
out.
Passage.
But I thought I'd read now a little bit, if you fancy it, from Ulysses, which is the bit where Leopold Bloom goes into a restaurant and is kind of grossed out by what he sees. Do you want to hear that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just as a little example of what we're talking about. And I'm going to do it in a really bad Irish accent, so I apologize.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. It's got to be done. It doesn't sound right if it's not in an Irish accent.
Okay.
His heart astir, he pushed in the door of the Burton restaurant. Stink gripped his trembling breath. Pungent meat juice, slush of greens. See the animals feed. Men, men, men. Perched on high stools by the bar. Hats shoved back. At the tables calling for more bread, no charge, swilling. Wolfing gobfuls of sloppy food, their eyes bulging. Wiping wetted moustaches. A pallid, suet-faced young man polished his tumbler knife, fork and spoon with his napkin. New set of microbes. A man with an infant sauce-stained napkin tucked round him shoveled gurgling soup down his gullet. A man spitting back on his plate half-masticated gristled gums. No teeth to chew-chew-chew it. Just a little taster there.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yes, you can see.
It does a very good job of building a scene, doesn't it? Building
yeah, but
atmosphere.
You can see, you're not only seeing through Bloom's eyes, but you're sort of getting the full psychological filter, if you know what I mean. So you're sensing his distaste in watching people eat and stuff. But yeah.
Well, it's like you're experiencing it as he does.
That's
isn't it?
Yeah.
Without that sort of, without it being refined in any way. It's just mashed in your face.
And some of it doesn't make sense. It's like a lot of Ulysses. It feels like it sort of, I mean, it's quite difficult anyway, but you get a sense of like you're overhearing someone's thoughts.
Yes. But that's a really good way of putting it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. We could do a whole episode on Ulysses. We could attempt to read it and feedback on it because it is such.
Sorry, I think you're getting the podcast confused with GCSE English.
Yeah, what, you're describing a book club there.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe not. Yeah, it's like an ideas manual, Ulysses.
Yeah.
It is. If you've got the stamina to read it, it's so massively rewarding, but it's also hugely frustrating and confusing. So maybe for another time.
Yeah. Maybe not today, but
maybe not today.
Yeah.
Anyone else got any little bits?
Well, it's funny what you were saying about the sort of the pacing of it and how it draws you along and how you kind of inside their head. One of my favourite poems that uses it is by Edgar Allan Poe, "The Telltale Heart."
Okay.
If I can read the end of it to you, I think you'll get the remind you of what it is and how. So obviously the idea is that he's in this room. And he can hear this heartbeat. Mm. And as we move through the poem, it's getting more and more in his head and freaking him out.
Mm.
"No doubt, I now grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and with heightened voice. Yet the sound increased. What could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound. Much sound as a sound as a watch makes when enveloped. Much sound as a God, he can't write us. I mean, that's the other
that's
problem.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a load of old tosh.
He puts too many words too close
together.
There's
too many words in one sentence there. "Much such a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath, and yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent gesticulations, but the noise steadily increased. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides, as if excited to fury by the observations of the men. But the noise steadily increased. Oh God, what could I do? I foamed, I raved, I swore. I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting and grated it upon the boards, but the noise arose over all, continually increased. It grew louder, 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 and still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? Almighty God, no, no. They heard. They suspected. They knew. They were making a mockery of my horror. This, I thought, and this I think. But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. And now, again, hark! Louder, 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 louder! Villains! I shrieked. Dissemble no more! I admit the deed! Tear up the planks! Here, here! It is the beating of his hideous heart!
Whoa.
Love it.
Wow.
So he's just... Basically, he's completely...
Losing his
shit.
He's
just hoisting himself.
His own guilt got him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
But very much in his... There's some bits in there that you just think, God, you are right inside his head. Where he's arguing with himself, almost, in his own head. This I thought, and this I think, just kind of, it's happening now. It's unfolding. I'm just getting. And he's just, very, very much in terms of the stream of consciousness.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Good one.
So keep your eye on Edgar Allan Poe. I reckon he could be doing some more good stuff in the
future.
One
for the future, yeah.
Yeah, he's, keep your eye on him. Yeah. I think he's got something
good,
left
got
in the tank.
Good name, hasn't he? So, yeah. Oh, very nice.
How about you, Dave? You got anything nice?
Well, what I seem to have done is got a little bit confused about what we were doing today. So I think what I've done is mixed together a couple of different genres that we were going to talk about and come down with the wrong one. Because Tom was talking last week where this all sort of started from the kind of surrealist story that he did. So I was sort of looking at surrealist writers. And I was thinking, like, have I got any surrealists? And I suddenly remembered, I've got one book by a sort of surrealist writer. It's not really stream of consciousness stuff, but I think he was like a contemporary of Kerouac and Vonnegut, I think. Anyway, chap called Richard Brautigan. And I've got this book, and I can't remember for the life of me where I got it from and when I got it.
You have no idea how surprised I am, dear. Because for all that description there, my mind was only going to one place. I thought you were going to pull out the obvious. I thought we were going straight for Dr. Seuss.
That's what I was thinking of. So there's this book called Sombrero Fallout. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
Yeah.
We're moving off topic a little bit, but I love this book because it's two stories that take place at the same time. So there's a guy, an author in San Francisco, he's writing this story about a sombrero that falls from the sky, and he just gets disillusioned with it. So he scrumples it up into a ball and throws it in the bin. And then the story splits in two. So half of it is this author pining over his girlfriend. They've split up. Meanwhile, the story that he'd started writing carries on writing itself in the bin. And so it's great, but we don't have time to sort of read that whole book. So I found a poem by him, by Richard Brautigan.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I thought I would read that out to you.
Yeah.
So it's not really in the same vein as what you've just done, but, you know, it's still a poem, isn't it? And it's poetry day.
It's all good.
So this one, you might sort of recognise the last line of it, perhaps. I like to think, and the sooner the better, of a cybernetic meadow where mammals and computers live together in mutually programming harmony, like pure water touching clear sky. I like to think, right now, please, of a cybernetic forest filled with pines and electronics where deer stroll peacefully past computers as if they were flowers with spinning blossoms. I like to think, it has to be, of a cybernetic ecology where we are free of our labours and joined back to nature, returned to our mammal brothers and sisters and all watched over by machines of loving grace.
That's good.
Yeah. And I recognise that title, All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace.
Has that been used as something?
I think it might have been used as the title of this poem. Machines of Loving Grace seems like a phrase that I'm somehow familiar with, even though I've never read that poem before in my life. But yeah, I like the way it brings... It's the same sort of thing. It's got like lots of different disconnected stuff. Mammals and computers, but all sort of coming together in harmony.
It's kind of beautiful but dystopian at the same time, isn't it? Quite weird. It's kind of ugly but beautiful.
Yeah. It's sort of...
horrifying.
Yeah, but it's like a sort of, you know, he sort of wants these things to happen. You can feel that kind of, you know, yearning of a day when sort of technology and nature like kind of come together. But at the same time...
That was written, what, in the like 50s, 60s or something?
Oh, yeah, something like that, I think. 60s.
Because computers were pretty massive back then as well, weren't they?
Well, yeah, roomful.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I suppose you had all the Cold War stuff around then as well, didn't you? That like massive march of technology as well. You know, everything was rocket-shaped and radioactive. So there was a real... if it's like late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, but that's weird.
That was the future, wasn't it? Everyone's talking about, you know, in the year 2000.
Well, it's like Tomorrow's World, wasn't it? Had all these visions of what it would be like in 1997. And we were all being served by robot waiters and all that kind of stuff. And a bit of a letdown, to be honest. None of it ever happened. Thanks, Maggie Philbin.
It's all your fault.
Yeah.
Maybe you should rewrite the poem. And it's the same all the way through, and it just ends, you know. And all watched over, well, kind of listened to just by Alexa.
Yeah. So there we go. That's my contribution to National Poetry Day.
Very nice, Birdie.
Look at us, cultured lot, chatting on about poetry and things.
This is amazing, isn't it?
So we've gone a bit highbrow.
Yeah. Didn't have a really been down this little corridor before.
You're going to lose us some listeners, but
yeah.
Well, we're about to segue into something a lot less highbrow. So... I was just going to, I wanted to mention, because we've talked about stream of consciousness, I wanted to just give a little shout out to the Beat Generation, which I briefly mentioned. But what they were trying to do, they were really trying to free write, because they were influenced a lot by jazz. So they were almost trying to do like a sort of improvisational...
Word jazz.
Jazz music, but with the word instead of with actual music.
Yeah, and trying to change the world while they did it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Jack Kerouac. There's some brilliant bits of On the Road where... but he's trying to recreate the essence of jazz music. With what he's saying, but there are actual descriptions of nights where him and his mates are in a jazz bar actually listening to jazz, but the descriptions of the music are a bit like jazz music, but worth having a read. Bit of a weird book, not all brilliant, but the little bits of absolute brilliance in that book. But they were actually, a lot of their poetry, they were actually trying to do free writing, so they were trying to just literally sit down and start writing. And like we were saying before, not look back, not censor, just write.
Do it.
And yeah, just do it. Allen Ginsberg was a real advocate of that sort of free writing technique.
Well, should we have a go at it?
Well, I was going to say,
let's
give it a go. Having mentioned all those amazing writers,
let's do our homage to them.
Let's show them how it's done.
Exactly.
What they should have been doing.
Exactly.
So what's the brief then, John?
Reckon we use that. That random image generator. And what we do is, what we do now, in fact, while we're chatting, is if you go to that page and you click on the random picture, find one that you think suitable. And what we'll do is just do a little screenshot of it and then post it to each other. So I'll post one to you, Tommy. Tommy, you send to Birdie. Birdie, you send one
right,
to
me. Right, so we're picking one for someone else. Right.
Exactly. And then we'll just start writing. Before we actually have a go ourselves, I've got a thought. Do you want to hear our friendly resident poet, Kate Fox, have a go?
All right.
Because that would be quite interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To see how a proper poet gets on with this kind of thing.
Yeah, we need some sort of quality content for today, so yeah.
Exactly. Because you see, I'm actually off to see her perform her show, Where There's Muck, There's Bras tomorrow.
Oh.
And she's agreed after the show to have a little go at free writing.
Wow.
And see what happens.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah.
And in order to hear her, obviously, we need some means of doing that. But the answer is, I've found a time machine on eBay. Got it for quite a good price on auction. Look, come here. Come over here, in the corner.
Bloody hell.
Look at that. This is it. This is mine now. I bought it.
Did the auction finish before it started? Or...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's
just made of... That's it, is it?
Yeah, that... What do you mean that's
I don't know,
it?
It just looks like it's made of odds and sods.
All right, it's a bit rusty.
Is that one of those tin opener things that old people used to help them open tins with?
It doesn't look like it would stay together in the speeds required to travel through the space-time continuum, to be honest.
The guy assured me it works like new, all right? He said it might need... you know, a couple of modifications, but it's...
Well, fair enough.
Right.
You're confident to drive it.
The man said to him, you've bought it now, there's no going back.
Should we give it a go?
Yeah,
turn it
over?
You guys are looking a bit worried. I'm sensing reluctance here. Shall I just go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say we'll wait for you here, but then
I'll go because I'm going with Katie, so I'll take Katie with me. Okay, let's start it up.
That doesn't sound good, does it? I don't think it's supposed to sound like that, John.
What do you mean?
I think
you're that rattling thing.
Your big end's gone. That's the problem.
What?
Your big end's gone.
Just give us a shove. It'll be all right.
Press that switch down the bottom. It's the one at the bottom.
Oh, that one there.
You've got the bloody... Yeah, you've got the handbrake on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm off. See you later, lads.
Wow. Well.
Oh. Wow, that was quite an intense experience.
Oh, I bet it was.
And I mean the poetry.
All right, yeah.
So, chaps, do you want to hear what happened?
Let's listen to the future.
I've got the recording here. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what Kate Fox did tomorrow.
Hey, look, I'm here in Spoons in Keighley with Kate Fox. Hi, Kate.
Hello, John, in person.
I know, isn't this nice?
It is. Spoons in Keighley,
especially. Spoons in Keighley. I know where to take the women, mate. Yeah, I know a good time when I see it. So, first of all, thank you for your fantastic show tonight. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I've never heard my wife clap so loud in such a small space. I don't know if you noticed that, but it was very enjoyable.
Thank you.
I'm aware that I don't want to keep up too much of your time, so I'm gonna get straight into it.
Okay, you have called me a rosé wine, though, so you're entitled to the time.
Okay, well, thanks very much. In fact, yeah, I should probably apologise, first of all, because I referred to you when we recorded as our friendly resident poet.
That's nice.
But I'm kind of aware now that I probably shouldn't have said that because I'm guessing that usually requires some kind of payment. Oh. But is a rosé wine, is that enough to be our resident poet?
Well,
also, would you want to be associated with the Failing Writers? I don't know, as a resident poet. Anyway, something for you to maybe think on.
Well, I was actually the resident poet for the Glastonbury Festival, and they did not even buy me a rosé wine, is all I'm saying.
You're kidding?
No. It was the one gig I've ever done for free because it genuinely probably was worth the profile.
Right, yes.
But unpaid. Imagine that.
Wow. So you're onto a winner here, basically.
Exactly. And I would... nothing that I would rather be associated with, in fact, the Failing Writers podcast than the Glastonbury Festival.
Okay, I got that. I think I got that. Just let me check I'm recording. Yes, I'm still recording. Fantastic. Well, I asked you on an email whether you would be happy doing a bit of free writing, because that's what we're doing this week.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was wondering, is that, first of all, is that something that you've ever done before?
Basically, pretty much every writing workshop I run, I will start off with a free writing exercise. And I will always say to the group, you know, this is how both to warm up. It's how to get the crap out of your head. It's how to not be afraid of a blank page or a blank screen. So it's really important. It is, however, hypocritically, I only do it when I'm running a workshop. I don't sit and do it any other time, basically.
Yeah. Do you write a bit like that anyway? Or are you a real refiner?
No, I am a refiner. What's interesting when I run it as a workshop exercise, people will often come out with a finished piece, and it's a pleasure to hear, but a little bit of me is a bit suspicious, because I'm like, well, that's not free writing, is it? Because my free writing starts off as, you know, it might be a shopping list or a neurosis, and then it's a weird image that leads to another weird image, and then, oh my God, I'm free writing, what am I going to do? Because I suppose I am trying to genuinely free write. However, those other free writes where people are aware that someone is going to listen or hear or read what they have done are often still brilliant because they're what they wouldn't ordinarily have produced. But are they free?
Yeah. I think a lot of people as well, they use it as an exercise and then they throw it away.
Yeah.
They don't actually show it to anyone.
No.
Interesting. Okay. So this is how this is going to work. I'm going to show you a completely random picture.
Okay.
As a stimulus.
Yes.
And you're going to take that picture. Okay. And you're going to use it. And I'm going to give you 4 minutes.
Ooh, that's generous.
I mean, we're beginners, so maybe you don't need 4 minutes. Feel free to, you know, shorten that a little bit. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Okay. Wasn't expecting the picture up for this.
Sorry about that. Okay. Kate Fox, here is your picture.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Give you a little bit of time just to think it through.
Yeah.
Before you start.
Get
some thoughts.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes. Right. Thoughts are happening.
Okay. Now, I'll start the timer. Go. The lines are coming very quickly. A lot quicker than mine.
Of course, I always say, I'll be right. You shouldn't stop. Don't stop.
Oh, really?
Start again, mate. Yeah.
She can even talk while she's writing. It's ridiculous.
She's got a bit wrong. I'm not writing a poem, by the way.
Hey, that's all right.
So I didn't, yeah, because we haven't preempted that. And I think free writing is for pause. Now, if it was a poem, I'd be rhyming. Anyway, I'm going on. Okay.
Could you recite it to us?
I can. Okay. Tracy drew a car when she was four. Not the car, the light it made. The wide triangle of the beam. The light and not the car at four. And 40 years later, her orange terracotta sable painting fills the gallery wall among the blokes of Newcastle's 1950s modernists. I'm obsessed with light, said A.S. Byatt. In the documentary I watched because the tagline was about nobody ever having sex in Filey. She sees the spaces objects make and writes the white between them onto the page in the form of pauses. Pinteresque, I would say, except now I realise the last thing named for a man should be a silence.
Okay, that's quite impressive. Is that going in your next book?
Maybe. There was something there, wasn't there?
There was something there.
What's interesting? Like, I didn't... Because I did the thing that I said that I don't want my workshop people to do, because I kind of had to, which is be aware that I was going to read it and produce something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had no idea what I was going to do. So all I could do was take an association that came into my head when I saw the picture, which was of a weird yellow dog with a light shade for its head, and think about two images I'd seen recently. So this particular painting... and then this particular documentary, and it somehow mished them
up together.
But I love that I ended with a...
Yeah, you brought it right back round. At what stage in that poem did you know where it was going to go?
Yeah, well, when I said about the Pinteresque pause, and I suppose because I've just literally this evening performed a really feminist show, that other thing in my head of, oh, you can't name a silence after a man... But it's as if, I want to say, because I didn't know how long, until Kate said I had 10 seconds left, I had no idea, so I didn't know it was quite the end. It was as if I had to keep my thoughts on a particular track, and the track was something to do with light beams and spaces. And if I kept my thoughts on that track, then eventually they would fit together and come back round to where they started. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very poetic process, isn't it? Even though I didn't set out to write a poem,
I think
often a poem is about connecting images and keeping a line somehow, even if it feels like the images are not connected, you're always aware of how you might bring them back, what other qualities that they have. So again, maybe in my head there was something about light, shape, space. It's really nice to have to describe that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, because you wouldn't normally do that. You just go, read it back. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yours has a rhythm and a music to it. You can tell that you're a professional.
and it comes to form, I think, as in I am so used to thinking, writing in a poetic music that I must just sort of subconsciously fall into that without even knowing that I'm doing it. actually. It
slipped in there.
Yeah, yeah. And also, maybe I read it in a rhythm. Maybe someone else would read it and the rhythm wouldn't be there. I probably just read the rhythm into it as well.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Because a lot of it's performance. We were talking about that. Yeah. Fantastic. Kate Fox, thank you for free writing with us tonight. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that and the rosé in spoons in Keighley.
You're very welcome. Cheers.
The lovely and also extremely talented Kate Fox there.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Keep your ears really open for her in the town near you, because it sounds like, from what she was saying, she's out and about quite a bit in the north.
Yeah.
Performing poetry nights like the one I went to, and also workshops and stuff.
What's she like then? What the stuff she does? What's it like at the gigs?
She flits very seamlessly between being very charming and funny, and also being very profound and touching.
Right.
And her book has much the same feel to it. It is also called Where There's Muck, There's Bras, and contains stories of amazing forgotten northern women.
All right, okay.
So get yourself a copy and get your mum a copy for Christmas while you're at it.
Are you on commission, John? Yeah.
It's obviously available in all the usual places, in bookshops, in online bookshops.
Yeah, we'll leave a link in the show notes. Yeah. Totally.
So, fellas, how are we feeling after hearing that?
Probably a little bit intimidated by Kate's off-the-cuff borderline genius.
Yeah. That was worth breaking the laws of physics.
I'm not sure if we'll... are we going to reach those heady heights? But I guess we'll see, won't we? We need to select our pitches, don't we? And send each other our stimuli. Let's get let's get cracking, I guess. I'm sending mine to Dave, aren't I?
I'm mailing... Who am I sending? I'm sending it to you, Tom.
Right, I'm just the first one.
What is that?
Right.
It's good. Why would you send that, John? Did you even...
Wait, where's it gone?
Is that just the first one that came up? Like, oh,
yeah, it is genuinely the first one.
All right, brilliant. Brilliant. Can you send John a really rough one, Dave?
Yep.
Please.
That's not going to be a problem.
Do you want another one, Tommy? Are you upset?
Right, well, the one you've... Just so everyone knows, the one you've sent me is an out-of-focus picture of a bird's nest with one bird with its mouth open.
I think that's quite moving.
Yeah, no, it could be. Maybe emotional. I should stick with it. Maybe I should stay with it. Maybe I should, you know.
I think you can't... Yeah, you can't choose. You just got to have what you're given.
No, you're right. Okay.
Right, I've just sent a picture to John.
Oof. A bit stressed. Oh, that's the other quite important thing. How long are we giving each other? Are we 3 minutes?
7 minutes?
You don't need seven.
Seven?
Minutes. Professional writers like us.
5 minutes?
Five. Okay.
Five minutes.
But that 5 minutes implies that it needs to be good at the end of it.
All right. 3 minutes then.
Four minutes.
4 minutes.
What's it need to be about?
Anything.
That's just a stimulus. That's just to get you going. It's going to be whatever
right,
you want.
Right, I'll tell you what, I'll set a timer.
Is everyone ready?
4 minutes starting now.
Yeah. Let's get riding, boys. Word jazz. Just words flowing out of us. Who knows what we'll come up with. We're just doing some word jazz. Do-do-do-do-do. This could be the longest 4 minutes of your life. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Word jazz. Cha-cha. Do-do. Just stream of consciousness. Jazz. Words. Boom-ba-doom. Bloody hell, it's only like... What's that, 40 seconds gone? Jeez. Do-do-do. We're just riding the first thing that comes into our head. Whatever that is. Do I got a picture of a birdie? Do they got a picture of a house? Do, do, do. I can't quite remember what John's picture was right now. Yeah,
John's was a weird picture of some frosty binoculars, possibly on a picnic table. Ba-da-boo-doo, ba-da-boo. Just pretend that's 4 minutes. That I do, 'cause I think we all had enough of the jazz.
That's it. 4 minutes is done.
Done.
Pens down. typewriters down. Keyboards down. That's it.
Wow. I mean, I don't even want to read that back.
Wow.
You see, the thing is about free writing, it's often used as a sort of exercise, a sort of warm-up exercise.
Yeah, to get your juices flowing.
That's it, to keep the writing muscles loose. And a lot of creative writing tutors suggest it, don't they, as a way of kind of freeing up your brain.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a bit of an overthinker like me.
I suppose it's a good way to get you started, do a couple of minutes of that, and then actually get on with writing something.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, because I think what it's made me want to do is give up writing.
Well, here's the thing, right? What you're supposed to do is free write and then read it and never show it to anyone. And the interesting thing is what we're doing, showing it to everyone.
Almost the exact opposite of that, isn't it?
So it could be
interesting. Well, tell you what, seeing as it was your silly idea, John, perhaps you should go first.
Hang on, I thought it was your idea. This was your idea.
Was it? Oh, God.
Yeah, I think that. Thus, you should go first.
Right, fine. So,
I want to go in the middle. I don't want to be last, so I'm remembered. Or first.
Oh, no, hold on a minute. So now, by default, I've got to go last.
Yes.
That's the way it works.
Just because you're
that's
a bit scared.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. So we'll put the pictures up on the blog, I guess, won't we? Yeah. Just so that people could see. Yeah. So what I've... Who sent me this one? Tom, you sent me this.
I sent you this one. Shall I describe the picture? Shall we describe the pictures we sent? So Dave's picture is what looks like probably an American single-story house. It's pink. It's very rickety. It's kind of, it's all lollopy and the roof is drooping. But it's set in quite nice grounds. There's a big old tree in front of the house and some green lawn around it.
Beautiful.
So the first thing that came into my mind, well, anyway, I'll just read what I wrote, shall I?
Because that probably is the first thing that came in your mind, is it?
Yeah, I just what I what just
with the
wrote.
4 minute limit.
Yeah, so this is what I managed to achieve.
Here's the first piece I wrote.
Yeah. In 4 minutes, I wrote the following: I want to eat the house. It looks so licorice lovely, but it's not my house. I don't have a house. I have no home. I was told to leave my last dwelling because of the incident with the feet and the child. It's not my fault my toes look that way. It's hard to keep your toenails tidy when you have no hands. The owner of the house is looking out of the window. He beckons me close. My heart lifts. There is some good left in the world after all. I run to him. He opens the window and smiles. Fuck off, he says. I have no home. So I eat his anyway.
Wow.
Wow, yours has got like a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
Yours is a story.
A story, isn't it?
You didn't even write a poem. You wrote a story.
I wrote a story, yeah.
Wow.
I got halfway through and remembered that I was supposed to be writing a poem, but it didn't matter, does it?
You're still on that surrealist tip as well, aren't you?
I really was, yeah. I just thought, I looked at the house and I thought, oh, that looks a bit like a licorice also.
It does look almost edible, yeah. There is an element of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, wow. It's interesting.
I think so much better than mine.
Yeah, I don't want to read mine now either. Anyway, that was good. I don't think we need to read them all, do we?
I think that's enough.
No, we have to. We have to, because I had to. So
John, do you want to describe that god-awful photograph you sent me?
Hang on, I'm going next. I don't want to be remembered, remember?
Damn it!
you nearly got him.
Picture.
Hang on, I'll describe. So I sent this one to John. So what I sent, it looks... Well, it's difficult to describe, isn't it? It's basically I think it's supposed to be like some sort of looking device, like a pair of binoculars or something on the front of perhaps a boat. No, there's some grass in the background. I can't even describe it.
Describe it, though.
There are two round things covered in ice that look a little bit like a pair. You describe it, John.
It looks like a CCTV camera or something. Fitted onto the top of, like, I don't know, like it looks like a picnic table or a roof. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
And the little device looks a bit like Number 5 from
yes,
the movie.
Right, that's a good description.
Or Wall-E or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like almost like two little eyes, but it's like clearly some sort of CCTV thing. And it's all iced up.
Like a pair of breasts. But,
so that's I was working
probably
with.
Just for your listening, probably worth popping onto the blog to have a look at that one,
because might make more sense, might be quicker.
I'm in the same boat there, and that's what
I felt like I had clear pictures of it in my mind, but then you were snatching it away and like dragging me off to a different, when I got it set in my mind what it was. Frozen binoculars on a boat picnic table. It kind of have a look on the blog.
I don't even know what I was thinking here. Okay. So mine goes like this. It doesn't have.
This is going to be really good now.
It's untitled.
Like, I don't know if it's any good.
Trust me, it's not. Frozen in time and frozen ice eyes watch the landscape's wide, slippery vastness. Eyes dead from vision, a dead-eyed view of everything. Seeing, but never seeing. Not you, at least, sitting there hoping that someone or something will step into frame and cause your slow, crisp lids to wink once, smoke-stained digit rubbing once, but the screen remains black. Snow is all. You browse the powdered sky, a flicker in the corner, a dead light pounding your retina forever.
Anything to do? You didn't even mention picnic table. Is that even the same picture?
This didn't even mention
a single sandwich.
Breasts at all? There, did you?
I mean, it sounded good. It sounded good, though,
didn't it?
It was a very nice texture of writing.
Yeah,
which I think the sort of the stream of consciousness stuff when it lends it does lend itself that, doesn't it? Of kind of like that kind of conveyor belt pulling along.
Yeah, just sticking words together.
Yeah, you're riding the words
hoping
through.
For the best.
There's something about that, isn't it? There's something about sticking words together, not necessarily in a sort of, a crafted sentence that somehow aids.
Well, it's just so raw, isn't it? It's so raw. It's
describing
like it's literally
something.
Just coming
straight
out the middle of your brain.
Yeah.
It's coming out the word center. Yeah. It's not getting processed. It's not getting stuck into a sentence. It's just like instinctive.
It's like raw data, isn't it?
I'll tell you
what I was imagining. And I don't know whether that'll help or not, probably not. But I was imagining someone sat in a room, like a smoke-filled room, just with a little monitor, a really shit sort of snowy monitor. And they're just looking at like this snow scene. And there's absolutely F all happening. And they sit there day after day waiting for something to happen on their little screen. And it never does. That's what I was imagining.
Wow, just,
when did you imagine that? I think that's the interesting thing on this. You know, you kind of need to get into a little bit of a canter, don't you, before it starts making sense.
Yeah. Line three.
Yeah.
Line three.
It's about line three, isn't it, when you think, all right, okay, I know where this is going. Yeah, I know where the angle is. Yeah,
I got something. Yeah. I got something.
Kind of written out some stuff, and this is where we're going then.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed that, only because I never do that. I don't think I've ever written a single line where I haven't deleted something.
Do you know what it reminded me of, John?
What?
Writing adverts for DFDS Seaways.
Yeah, we didn't have time to delete anything.
I think we did. Did we reference? I think it was like episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Early on in the podcast, we told that.
To write a campaign in half an hour.
Just like, type. And then you've done the same thing where if you deliver it with enough verve and gusto as well.
That's the thing. It goes back to what we were saying. Yeah. Writing episode. If you read something well...
Ooh, Dave, that's steady on, son. That's a bit... break it a bit more gently to him. John, you know what it reminds me of?
We were talking about bad writing.
When we were talking about really bad, all-time worst-ever writers.
No, what I mean...
But you've delivered it well.
Yeah, no, we were saying to rescue that a little bit. Because if you read something well,
yeah,
you know.
It's half the piece of the puzzle, isn't it? There's definitely a... In the same way, if you went to the theatre and they were just going, blah, 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 blah. You'd be like, this is not the best Shakespeare I've ever seen. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it needs... Yeah,
it's not the worst.
It probably wouldn't be the worst. And there'd still be someone sat in the crowd going, for this bit's funny. Do you get it? No, I enjoyed that, John, though.
I think I enjoyed that.
The main thing. I felt like I was being taken on a journey.
Chaps, that's very
sweet. It felt like it had dynamism to it. It had, like, movement. Mm. Like a dance. It's like watching a dance.
An ice dance.
No, but you know what you're saying about the sort of the jazz, like the kind of the jazz words had that kind of feel to it of, like, kind of irregular beats.
Jazz on ice.
Yeah.
Slightly musical.
Yeah. Well done.
Interesting. All right, Tommy. I'm excited now.
So what did you... So John, what did you send to Tom?
Yeah, yes. I sent it, didn't I? So you already know, but I sent a picture of a tiny little baby bird in a nest all on his own.
Oh. He's not actually on his own. He's just the only one that's popping up. The others are out of focus.
Oh, you're right. There's like...
Yeah, so the nest is
they're out of focus. You're right. He's like stood up and his great big mouth is gaping. His beak is open. See his little tongue.
I surprised myself a little bit. I've gone very literal on this, really.
Okay.
I thought, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but, with my
it
little...
is a picture of a nest. There is a bird inside.
I see a nest.
So I spent my 4 minutes searching for where it was on the internet. So it's basically just the library information for where you can find the image if you did want to use it on your own website. It's a Shutterstock image of a blackbird. That's all I got. That was it. So, which is kind of surreal in itself, isn't it? So it kind of works.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy.
Right. Okay. Sorry. This is what I feel I must have. It kind of got a bit worthy. That kind of.
Oh, we like worthy. This is
a bit preachy worthy. Yeah. Bit.
Come right, on.
Like the opening mouths clutching the air to feed, we choose whether we share, whether we survive, whether we give, take, steal, succeed. Or die. Before first flight, while our world is still the warm weave of the nest, all that matters is the half-chewed, regurgitated food from those that look after us. We fight for our share, thinking that is all there ever will be. Until one day, it's time to step over the edge. All of a sudden, the world rolls out in front of us like a rich carpet of undiscovered joy, pain, adventure, and stories yet to be written. The law of the nest means nothing. Those that rose to the top, what do they have to show for it? They still must jump and trust their wings. And not all will fly. Some will flounder, flap and fail. Stooping low, maybe stretching out their young wings as far as they can reach, in the hope that the air fills beneath and life lives on.
Oh, Tommy.
Oh, I tell you
what.
Long.
It was like an epic
bear. Yeah. That was like, Homer.
Well, what I thought was, I mean, just get as many words down. Like, I can do more words than other people, and that's something, isn't it?
Getting the words out.
You can kind of go, well, yours was better, but mine did have a lot more words.
Felt like you got to an end, though, didn't it?
It's nice.
It's like, maybe that's just the way you read it, but.
No, I did. It might have been.
Ending there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That might have been 4 minutes and 8 seconds.
Oh.
So I just read those last few words.
Disqualified. Ooh, sorry.
It did. It felt like it ended once. And then it carried on.
Right.
I thought you were going to end at one point. I thought, that's a lovely ending.
So you just wishful thinking, John.
it's just hoping for it.
That was nice, Tom. Yeah, there was some lovely stuff in there. There was some nice alliteration.
That's very worthy.
Floppy funfair. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's got a very sort of, profound tale to tell about the human condition and regurgitation. And,
well, I did think that. I think I got about two-thirds way through and it kind of felt like, do you know what? This is a comment on school.
Yeah.
You know, people at school, it's like there's like an order at school.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're out of school, it just means nothing. Yeah. And kids have spent like 10 years from like, the entirety of high school, say, of kind of fighting up this order, and it's kind of this little closed bubble society that they've got. Mm. Who's the top dog and the head boy and the head girl and the best at sport and the hardest and this and the smartest.
And you sort of position yourself.
Yeah, you're in there
you?
Somewhere.
Within that sort of status in the hierarchy.
The rich carpet of life rolls out in front of you and you go,
it's nothing, isn't it?
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't mean anything, none of that. You've got
a little bit of wasted time. Well, that's, yeah, it's brought it all down, hasn't it?
Very good, that, Tom. I think that's an excellent way to wrap that little feature up.
It was quite enjoyable, that.
It was, surprisingly, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just don't...
Turned out better than any of us expected.
I think you both did, you both succeeded on the sort of poetry front. I don't think, mine was really not poetic in any sense.
Oh, no, but... I think it was.
You can still do a like a story poem. That's
poems
still...
take all forms, Dave.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can call anything a poem, really, can't you? Yeah.
I'll be honest, I completely forgot we were going to be writing a poem. I just trying to write as many words as I could.
But yeah, no, I think it is an interesting exercise just to get you in the sort of writing zone. But I would agree that the best thing to do with it is to never look at it again.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? There is something lovely about that, though, isn't there? That there's no onus to turn this into a short story, or it's, do you mean there's not an idea really? It's
just, you just put that away. That's quite a nice
feeling.
Never
think of it again.
It's literally, you can just be deleted. Yeah. Never need to see it again. It doesn't have to exist.
Except it will always exist on this podcast.
There is that.
Yeah, but, it will. But then it's completely unique. No one's ever put those words in that order before. We've created something out of nothing.
So we, in that sense, we haven't failed at that at all, have we? We have actually literally completed writing something in its entirety. We've done everything that there is to do with that.
There's nothing else. So there's literally nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's done. Put a lid on that as well.
And unbelievably, none of them were shit. I think it's fair to say that, isn't it? I mean, the listeners may have a different...
I think that's fair to say,
Yeah, I mean, I think mine was maybe a little bit shit. Little bit.
Not,
how about a little
we're
bit?
We're not going to enter
not
them
really
for awards,
no, I don't think it was. I don't think any of them. I think they all had their own. You know, you got 4 minutes to write. If it makes... just about makes sense and sounds all right, then... No, but seriously, then you...
That's not bad going, is it?
As long as you've ticked one box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Well done, Oz.
There's a big freedom, isn't there, in not being allowed to go back and change anything. Yeah. That you kind of have to go, well, we only had 4 minutes, so that's...
Yeah,
just,
well, there were...
Goes, oh, okay, fair enough.
There were a couple of moments where I thought about sort of, I should go back a bit here. I've gone down a bit of a blind alley.
Yeah.
You've got to keep going, haven't you?
Do you fellas normally write like that? Like, I get the feeling, Tom, you're quite good at just piling on.
Yeah,
through.
I do write like that.
Or do you do a lot?
That's how I write, generally. It's proper bursts. I can do a lot of words quickly and,
I think this is my exercise. I should do more of it.
Yeah.
What about you, Betty? Do you kind of free write quite easily?
Not really. I've got better at doing that recently, I'll be honest, but I tend to sort of stop and look. I think it's that moment that you stop. If you can sort of keep going, then it's fine. But the moment that you sort of stop and just read back a little bit, that's when I end up going back and, I could change that and I could fiddle about with that, and you could end up stuck on something for ages.
That's a good point, actually. It's when you start questioning it.
Yeah.
That's when I start going back. And I think if you force yourself not to question it, you end up in places where you would never have got to.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Like, you might get to a really interesting idea if you just trust in the process and just keep going.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever really let myself do that.
I'm telling you, probably... it's the self-burning book, again.
Pulling up the ladder after you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to do it.
Well, thank you, chaps. I thought that was excellent. It was a really interesting little exercise. I would recommend that to our listeners.
Yeah, if nothing else,
have a little
it's
go.
Killed a bit of time, hasn't it?
Killed a bit of time. And hey, listen, if you do a little bit of free writing and it ends up, you know, that you're quite pleased with it, send it to us.
Yeah,
we would love to hear your free
writing. Do you know what? It's a massive shame that we can't do our next competition as a 5-minute free writing.
No, that wouldn't work.
There's no
work,
way of
would
doing it.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it,
to do that?
It would.
Just to see what you really get, good. Just to see that.
There's got to be a way of doing
what we'd have to do. We'd have problem. To open a competition and then close entries 5 minutes after
we
open.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Send the stimulus and then, shut it down.
Yeah.
We'd get fewer entries.
Yeah, I mean,
it would take
possible,
us a lot.
Hang
on, wait a minute. We're talking about competitions again. With that,
well done.
The lid. That lid, I clearly didn't put the lid on properly.
It's not.
I think I got the thread crossed when I was screwing it on. And it's popped off
You
again.
Need to use one of those devices that older people use when their wrists get a bit weak.
What?
You know, the little strap on it.
A little what? A little strap-on device for old people? What? What are you talking about, John?
We've stopped with the stream of consciousness now, John. Please.
A Billy, what have you given Gran? I've got a wrist massage, so I got her a little strap-on device. What are you doing?
Margaret, I'm trying to get the top off this jam jar, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm itching it with it. I'm quite firm with it, but nothing.
I'm striking it on the top.
Yeah, move on. So, what's coming up next week?
You're not supposed to ask that, Dave.
Why would you do that, Dave? Why would you ask that when you know we've talked before and we don't really know what next week's going to be? Tune in for next week's well-planned episode.
I think we should just say, hey, thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, thank you for listening.
Bless you.
Yeah.
It's been nice hanging out with you. And listen, if there are still, poetry events going on, because I know there are certain things going on over the next
couple
of weeks.
There's always someone writing a poem somewhere.
Exactly. Go and support your local poets.
Yeah.
Because they're good sorts and they need your support. So
how would one go about finding a local poet?
You get on the old Google, don't you? Look at local events.
Yeah.
Do you know that's something we should do? We should go to a poetry slam. I've never been to a poetry slam. I'd like to know what that's all about.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic.
Yes. What, do you know what? In the spirit of
All right.
Poetry slam.
Yeah.
Why not, eh? Why not?
Yeah.
We'll do that in season 3. We'll go out for a proper poetry slam night out.
And join in. We'll join in.
We'll do some stream of consciousness.
We'll do some freestyle.
Yeah. Just there and then. Yeah. Improvisational. Some jazz poetry. Yeah. Just jazzing it.
All right.
All right, everybody.
Well, do you know what I was going to say, actually, as well?
What were you going to say?
It's been a long time since someone's left us a nice review. That makes it sound like people have been leaving us bad reviews. But it's been a long time since anyone's reviewed and said nice things about us. Which, for our fragile egos, it goes a long way, doesn't it? Just having a nice review.
Perhaps someone could send us a stream of consciousness review. Sit down, open up the review box, and just write whatever comes into your head. Right. Cheerio, then.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello?
Where's everybody gone?